I'm drinking Sam Adams out of my Sam Adams glass.
That makes too much sense to be funny. Why wouldn't you be doing that? Out of that.
I don't know.
Podcast for December 10th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ashguy.
Say hello. Hello.
Yeah, there he is, right there. We got a great show for you today. I mean, I don't really know if it's going to be great. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but I've got a feeling.
I hope you like World of Warcraft.
we talked about... Yeah, I guess we probably will talk about World of Warcraft a lot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anywho, well, there's a lot to talk about. We got a lot of news, so we'll get through the news. Then we got Let's Go Topical, our week in gaming, and the releases. So, yeah, let's get started.
Okay, let's get the big story out. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
Woo!
Woot. They're going to have a fuller reveal at the VGAs tomorrow, along with a bunch of other games. We got a very, very, very short teaser. And some details from Entertainment Weekly. As expected, Desert.
Yes. Yeah, the rumors were true. Desert. Although I want to reiterate again that this doesn't mean the whole game is going to take place in a desert now.
Right, just like not all of Uncharted 2 took place in like a frozen wasteland.
But it's kind of a good centerpiece, you know, because they haven't done that before, so it's a good centerpiece kind of location. I guess like the plot is going to have something to do with T.E. Lawrence, you know, a.k.a. Lawrence of Arabia, and some of his exploits. They kind of feature his autobiography a lot in that teaser trailer. You can see it on the table. What's it called? It sounds... very unsmart right now for not remembering his book, but something about pillars. Something about pillars. But, so that's cool. I mean, this isn't a shocking announcement. We knew that this was going to happen. But still, it's Uncharted 3, so I'm incredibly
all
excited.
All aboard the hype train.
Right, oot, yeah. Oot. You know, give it to me. It's in 3D. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Not too surprising. It seems to be Sony's big thing.
Yeah, kind of like...
Will this make you want a 3D TV now?
Like, it kind of does, but it's still so impractical. I have this giant TV down here. I can't, like... I don't want to replace it. Ugh.
It'll just give you good incentive to go back to the game a year or two.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. There you go. But, apparently Sully is going to be important to the story. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't know much, but it's Uncharted, so... You know, it'll be good times.
Yes.
I find it strange that they went back to the Drake's whatever, naming convention.
Yeah, because you have...
You have Drake's Fortune.
Thank you. Drake's Fortune, then Among Thieves, and Drake's Deception.
It's like, maybe they should have named Uncharted 2 something else. Drake's, you know, just like, you know, like... I don't know what, but you know what I mean. Like, not, you know, it would have actually made sense. But, no, whatever. Great. You know, I'm very excited.
All right, so next story I have is perhaps the best DRM I've ever heard of. Apparently people who pirated Michael Jackson The Experience on DS, the game knows it's been pirated and will just play a Vuvuzela throughout the song.
That's pretty interesting. Wait, if you can do it so that the game knows it's been pirated, can't you just not let people play it? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Wait, what does that mean? That doesn't make sense. If the game knows it's being pirated, why is it allowing people to play it? Right?
I don't know.
But you know, but you get me, right? I'm right.
I understand what you're saying.
Like, it makes no sense. I don't understand. Oh, well.
Have you seen the Michael Jackson for DS? It kind of looks like EBA.
Really?
Yeah. That could be good.
I mean, it could be, sure.
All right. Game Informer's cover has confirmed a Tomb Raider reboot.
Yeah. Didn't they reboot that already?
Kind of.
No, like, I thought they rebooted it. What was the last one?
What was the last one? It was that one.
Not the DLC one, you know.
No. There's that one that apparently didn't have an ending. I can't remember the hell it was.
I thought that was a reboot.
Seems
what does reboot mean
drastic
anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know, because normally a real reboot means that you're throwing away all the story and everything.
Or it at least means it's been a long time since anything.
Sure.
Like, Batman Begins, that was a reboot, because, like, we hadn't had a Batman movie in a long time, and it started over,
right.
It threw away every convention
other
movies.
Devil May Cry game, that's not a reboot, because it's, like, it's supposed to be just a prequel to Devil May Cry.
Right.
And Devil May Cry 4 did not happen long ago. That's just...
But then, like, then you got, like, Spider-Man 4 is a reboot, but, like, Spider-Man 3 was not that long ago.
Reboots...
Like, is that really a reboot?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, can't they just...
I mean, it is a prequel. It's, like, focusing on Laura's younger years.
See, this doesn't... Yeah, once again, that's... Isn't that what they... They always seem to go back to that. I don't know. I mean, you know, if they gotta try, they gotta try, I guess. I don't know why they just can't let this one lie.
Yeah.
But...
There must be some still perceived value in the brand for them to keep going back to it.
Well, I guess so, but, like, basically their big selling point is that she has smaller breasts. Like, that's the big deal, right?
I didn't read too much more.
But that's the big difference so far, is it not? The big difference is that her breasts are smaller.
Her big selling point?
Well, like, what else is different? What else is rebooty about it?
We're
trying to make her not look ridiculous anymore. I thought that's why people liked Lara Croft, right?
Pretty much.
That was the whole point. Like, why am I... Like, you know, I barely gave a shit before. She doesn't have the giant knockers. Why am I going to even give any kind of a shit now? Oh, but, like, she looks, like, more real and stuff. It's Lara Croft! It doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Like, Lara Croft only existed to be...
Plus, the problem is... Tomb Raider basically now has to compete with Uncharted.
Well, right. What reboot really means is probably we're going to make an Uncharted clone.
Mm.
That's what reboot really means here. But whatever. We'll see. Next.
Apparently the Rock Band 3 Fender Stratocaster is going to be exclusively held early on by Best Buy.
What the fuck is this?
The real guitar.
No, not that. What are you reporting? First off, I never heard this. I don't know what you're talking about. Who gives a shit? Rock Band 3 didn't sell. No one plays it. No one's going to get this guitar. We're done talking about this shit.
Moving on.
Thank you. What is this? What? What was that story? What'd you just say?
You don't want to talk about it. I'm moving on.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. We had some leaks about Mortal Kombat 9, most prominently. In the PS3 version, it looks like Kratos will be a playable character.
Wasn't he already a playable character in the PSP Soul Calibur game?
Yeah, he's just all over the place.
I mean, he makes sense for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I have a really hard time getting excited about Mortal Kombat anything.
I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm sure it'll be Mortal Kombat-y. Another reboot. Sure, rebooting a lot of PlayStation 1...
Well,
like,
I mean,
or, you know, franchises that were last relevant in, like, the PlayStation 1 era.
Well, here's the thing that's always been the case with Mortal Kombat. Like, if you stripped out all the blood and gore, Mortal Kombat was, like, an okay fighting game that's not as good as Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And, like, what made that game was the fatalities. But, like, since the fatalities are completely non-interactive, like, I could just go on YouTube and watch them all right now and be like, okay.
There's still something cool about it. But, yeah, sure. You know, it's not quite as cool anymore. Like... As soon as you can go just download a video and watch
it
the fatality.
It had that kind of skill thing, like, where if you were in an arcade and you knew Baraka's fatality, like, oh, you pulled it off, that's awesome.
Sure.
It's like, you don't have that anymore.
Right.
I don't know.
Next.
Okay. You complained, Microsoft listened.
What did I complain
Halo
about?
Halo Wars stats.
I didn't complain about this.
Well, you didn't, but...
Oh, I get you. Yeah, it was a more general you.
Yes, I wasn't talking to you. While the forums are still going to merge to Waypoint, they are going to keep HaloWars.com active and all the stats in place. So, yay.
Nice ending.
Mm-hmm. So, did you see Telltale's revelation of a few more characters and voice actors?
Well, yeah, but I'm confused, because Biff Tannen's a character in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Wilkinson is the guy who played Biff Tannen.
Tom
right?
Wilson. Tom Wilkinson is the other guy.
Right. But he's not playing Biff Tannen. But Tom Wilson is primarily a voice actor these days.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either.
That's like how I'm always confused why Mark Hamill is never the voice of Luke Skywalker.
He just never wanted to do it. Like, they went to him, but he just kind of didn't want to be Luke Skywalker anymore.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Maybe Tom Wilson's the same way. Who knows?
Okay.
Scylla, did you see who's doing young Doc?
No.
James Arnold Taylor is doing, like, you know, Emmett Brown.
Oh, okay.
As, like, a younger guy. And I'll tell you what. Like, they had a couple voice clips of him up there. It's really good. Like, if you had to imagine what young Doc sounds like, he's doing it.
That's
awesome.
That's the one we met, right?
Well, we didn't meet him, but we saw him.
We saw him.
Yes.
In person.
Yes.
What do you see the trailer for the game?
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, it's not.
You don't like it?
I mean, it's fine, but it's so... I mean, you know how I feel about Telltale Games and how kind of really cheap they look.
All right.
I know, shame on me for not being able to get over it, but... I don't know. I feel like other developers are able to do more with less than them sometimes. Their character models just kind of stand around awkwardly, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm still not sold on... I don't understand. There's so many plot holes already. How do you get the time machine again? It got destroyed.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it'll all be explained.
Where's Doc Brown's family?
I'm sure they're somewhere.
Why was Marty, like, all confused about where the Doc was when it was very well established that he lives in the Wild West now?
Well, he didn't necessarily. They were just traveling through time. He didn't know when he was.
Okay, but it was pretty well established he's not coming back.
Never said he wouldn't.
Really, because I thought the emotional climax of the trilogy was the goodbye between Marty and Doc.
Did it ever bother you that they didn't actually hug each other?
They hugged each other earlier, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember which one, but there was hugging before.
There was hugging several times.
It was still touching. I think there was just a technical problem, like Doc couldn't get off that train because it was floating. I don't know.
I'm looking really forward to these games. I think they'll be great.
No, I am too, and I'll get them, and I'll like them, but I'm still just saying, like...
It's just funny to me, because you watch every special feature on the new Blu-rays they put out, and it's everybody, including Bob Gale, who is, like, the consultant on this game, talking about how there does not need to be any more Back to the Future movies, and how the story is done.
See, that's the thing. It kind of is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
Indeed. All right.
Next.
This is the first kind of attractive thing I've seen for a PlayStation Plus subscriber. You get into the DC Universe beta.
That's nice.
Yeah. You've played it.
I mean, yeah, I talked about that game. It was weird. It's like a hack and slash MMO from what I saw.
Right. Okay. That's all. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has two new characters. Storm and Crimson Viper from Street Fighter 4.
You kind of have to have Storm in there because she was a big tournament favorite from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. See, Viper, what the hell?
No, people like her.
Okay. Alright, so people like Phoenix Wright too. That's not a good reason people like her.
Plus, she already has an established fighting mechanic. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that probably has a lot to do with it. I don't know. See, Viper... Can they just announce Mega Man already? I still don't get that.
He's going to be DLC.
Man, wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be $5 out of your pocket?
Wouldn't it indeed? Next.
My final story is everyone's pretty much figured out that that clip from BioWare is in fact Mass Effect 3, and we're pretty damn sure of it because, whoops, EA posted it in the EA.com store.
Whoops, indeed.
We got our first story details. It looks like the battle for Earth will begin.
That's kind of interesting because Earth's fate was... It hasn't been addressed, right?
It's there. It's fine.
Oh. So what happened to it now?
It's just, you know, it's there. People still live there. Listening to some of the... You could find some of the codex descriptions in the game, and it was in one of the one book I read. It sounds, you know, kind of similar to the way Earth goes in Star Trek, only not quite as utopian-like.
Okay.
But similar.
Yeah. Wait, to save Earth now. I just hope that they don't do, like, the whole, like, gather up a team for a big suicide mission thing again.
I don't see how you could.
But I don't see how us... I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We know barely anything about this game. It's not even real yet. So
yeah. Again, tomorrow is the Spike TV VGAs. We'll be seeing the Uncharted trailer reveal, probably more about Mass Effect 3, probably more Batman Arkham City. There was a teaser for that that came out this week. It looks like there's going to be some kind of Peace Walker announcement. People are thinking they're going to do Peace Walker on PS3 in some fashion.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about all of this next
week.
Yeah, there was some kind of like some kind of teaser thing went up on the Spike TV website or something with Jeff Keighley. And if you, like, freeze-framed it at the right point, you saw the Peace Walker logo in some kind of graphic.
Wait. You mean I didn't have to play that game on a PSP?
Bazinga.
But,
Fooled you!
I still didn't, like, beat the final thing, too. I wish that they would have made Peace Walker without the stupid mission selection. We want to be like Monster Hunter bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's move on. Let's go topical. And my first story, you kind of forgot to talk about something, which I think we'll have a lot of fun with.
I think I left it out on purpose for you. If that's what you're going to bring up, go ahead.
Final Fantasy related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 14, which is man. Wow, it's just kind of funny. But
I'm laughing.
I mean, I don't know the details of the story because I thought you would have. But I mean, basically.
Oh, I mean, I know it. If you'd like it.
Well, I mean, I just don't know the exact names. But basically, who's the guy in charge of Square Enix?
I thought all these Japanese games. Nawada or
Nawada is Nintendo.
No, Nawada. Hang on.
Look,
I have it written somewhere because I knew we would talk about it.
He basically changed the entire staff of the game.
Yes.
Including its director and producer.
Here we go. I have it right here. I was right. It's Yoichi Wada.
Okay.
Wada, not Wata.
I get you.
Yeah. He took the director, Nobuyuki Komoto, and producer Hiromichi Tanaka off the game and put Naoki Yoshida in their place.
And apparently he's getting like all these other people from
other
games.
Yeah, like hand-picked developers will join the existing team.
You know what's interesting about that? That sounds like a lot of other projects are going to suffer now just to, like, make
Final Fantasy 14.
Right.
Yeah. It's bad news bears all around.
Yeah. I feel bad for anyone who got this game in the PC, because the PC version of this game basically sounds like a beta test.
Yeah,
the
at least you're not paying any monthly fees, like, ever.
Yeah, well, you don't have to pay monthly fees till, like, the game's fixed, whatever that means. And the PS3 version has been delayed indefinitely. Wow. That's just, man, I can't.
Just like I said, I mean, the thing is, from what I've played of it, which admittedly was not much, like, there are fundamental design decisions that are forever a part of that game that are the core of this problem. Unless you basically reboot it somehow, I don't see how you fix it. I really don't.
Well, you can. Let's remember Star Wars Galaxies and how it tried to reboot itself about 3 times. One time it really rebooted itself.
Big. Yeah, none of those ever worked.
No, it never stuck. I'm not saying that it's going to be fixed, but it might be turned decent someday.
I don't know.
It's just,
I mean,
it's very
fact
weird.
Of the matter is the world is way too big. There's not enough stuff in it. Like, it's a lot of moving around across empty landscapes that are very cookie-cutter looking, so it's easy to get lost. Like stuff like that, I don't see how you fix.
Well, you had to populate those areas.
I guess.
Which is,
I mean, like, when you leave the main town and you walk across a 100-foot bridge of nothing, like, what the hell?
It's just kind of a thing, like, these people don't really know what they're doing. Like, that sounds like a great idea. Like, oh, we walk by this bridge and it's really big, it's really epic. Well, you're going to have to walk by that bridge every time when we go into this town.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to care after a while. I still believe, and I'm speaking about a game I never played, to be honest, and I'm kind of making a general, I kind of lump Final Fantasy 11 in with this too, which I know is moderately successful, but come on, it wasn't great, it didn't do that well. I really don't think these people have any business making MMOs.
Right, they don't. It was, at least at the time of Final Fantasy 11, boy, that EverQuest makes a lot of money. We should make one of those. And how do we ensure that we could penetrate this market? Make it a numbered Final Fantasy. Instant, marketing.
That still pisses me off, by the way, that they put the number there. Because, right. Now you're tarnishing the franchise. Because now you have a Final Fantasy game that has, like, a 50-something average review. Mm-hmm. And it's Final Fantasy 14, a bad game. Like, Final Fantasy 13 was, like, mildly controversial. Like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's just an 8. No, this is just terrible. How could they lack that much respect for their own franchise, I guess?
The almighty yen.
It's just kind of a mess. The whole thing's ugly. You know what was pretty cool Final Fantasy news, though? For Dissidia 2, one of the characters announced, a new character announced for it was Laguna from Final Fantasy 8. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's neat.
Okay.
Take my word for it. I believe you. But yeah, Final Fantasy 14, just wow. But anyways, here's our actual topic.
Okay. Oh, that wasn't the topic.
I mean, it kind of was, I guess. So, making a sequel to an MMO is a terrible idea. Now, wait a second.
Okay.
EverQuest 2. EverQuest does a lot better than EverQuest 2, right?
Probably true.
EverQuest 2
is sustaining. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to get bigger. It's not even going to get bigger than EverQuest 1.
Asheron's Call 2.
You could buy and subscribe to Asheron's Call right now. Asheron's Call 2 shut down about 2 years after the game came out, as I recall.
Asheron's Call 2 shut down years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago. So you know what I'm saying.
The issue is, you ask your subscribers to put a significant time investment into a character, into a world, into social relationships within that world, and then you're going to ask them to just start over. Like, that's the fundamental problem. It doesn't matter how improved your game is. It's like putting someone on a career path, like a legitimate career path for their job, and then firing them, making them move to the other side of the country, and starting them over at the bottom of the ladder. And not so serious.
And that's a good point, but, like, there's just the issue of the MMOs, and the ones that stick around for a while, they always get better. An MMO, when it first starts off, is always kind of, it's never the game it'll actually end up being. Like, just think about World of Warcraft. Think about the cinematic show they made for that game. What do you see in it? You see a lot of Horde people fighting Alliance people. That's probably what they thought the game would be for a while.
Yeah, because, like, kind of the carryover of the RTS game, where it was the Alliance versus the Horde.
But World of Warcraft was never actually about the PvP. I mean,
it's there, and they have the battle.
And by the way, even what they have for PvP, that took years to develop. For a while, it didn't even have, like, a decent PvP system. And the PvP systems they had were rebooted.
They openly admit, they honestly thought the world PvP was going to be enough.
Right. But see, that's what I'm saying. You don't know what your game's going to be. So, when you finally get to that point where it takes 5 years for your MMO to become something, why do you just go and make a new one? Here's a point.
Well,
here's a point. A brand new MMO that is launching today is just an unattractive option. Because any MMO that launches in its first year is basically unfinished.
Yeah.
That's the advantage that World of Warcraft has now, is that it's 6 years old and it has 6 years worth of improvements and whatnot. And plus,
well, it's 6 years old, but if you go out and buy it today, it does not feel like a 6 year old game.
Well, the Cataclysm expansion basically,
even pre Cataclysm,
no,
even
but
just
that's not what I mean. It's just the Cataclysm expansion basically said, we don't need to make a sequel, we can do this instead. And we don't have to throw away our player's character, their achievements, their advancements. We don't have to throw away our game, but we can still create entirely new experiences across the board.
But even, like, just ignore the Cataclysm stuff, because that's, like, pretty big. But even, like if you would have started playing World of Warcraft a year ago, the interface has been updated, the guild system had been updated, talents had been redone, they changed the way, like, they basically took a lot of the popular community UI mods and built them into the game, things like the quest helper, the way item tracking works. Like, they just kept evolving the game to keep it modern. Like, they didn't take what they had in 2004 and said, this is what it'll be forever, and we'll just keep releasing new zones.
The
fundamental game itself would change.
But back to the original point about making a sequel to an MMO. It sounded like, at least from what the community had been saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that Final Fantasy XI had gone a lot better and it was finally basically good, right?
Right.
Then why would you choose then to start another MMO?
Well, here's the
thing. Go through growing pains again.
Sequels is a very traditional video game idea. And here's... It doesn't work for
MMOs, though.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. MMOs are still a relatively new genre in the grand scheme of gaming. I mean, the reason we're up to Mega Man 10 is because the original Mega Man came out in, you know, the 80s. And that was the norm then. Every year or two, you put out another one. And so a lot of that mentality, I think, stuck with early MMO development, where we're going to make this game, let it run its course, and then make another one. World of Warcraft is really the first game to, quote-unquote, do it right, where you just evolve the single game as a service rather than a single box product you're going to sell once. Which, you know, it's what happened with EverQuest. It's what happened with Ashran's Call. At that time, the thinking was, okay, well, we'll just make the sequel, just like every other video game before has ever done. And I don't mean to bag on them again, but if there's one person who's going to be slow to change the paradigm, it's going to be the Japanese. They're going to make the sequel.
Right. It's a mess. Final Fantasy XIV, I can't imagine it's going to be salvaged.
I see no way for that game to be okay. I honestly don't.
Especially, we think about all the bad press. Who's going to buy it now?
I know.
It probably didn't do good to begin with.
It had some good ideas. I really liked what it did with the cutscenes in the game where it put your character into them. I'm a sucker for that. And those cutscenes were really good. But the fundamental gameplay is just broken.
The fact that it has quests that don't, like, have, like, at least some kind of sense of a story with them. Like, it literally just goes and tells you to go kill something or go get fire or something. Without even the slightest bit of, like, motivation. Like, you know, the motivation doesn't have to be good. It can just be stupid. Like, oh, we need supplies, so please go get us some. Okay, right. Fine. Whatever. Consistency with the world. You can't just literally go tell somebody. Like you may as well get a quest that says, go grind for 200 experience. Yep. That's your quest. Go on, you brave adventurer, you fuck.
And here's the thing, too. I mean, we'll talk about it more, but in a post-cataclysm world now, the rules have changed. The things that are now, I think, expected of an MMO are going to be vastly different. The old model of the EverQuest grind was already on life support in probably the last 3 years. It's dead.
You know what?
And that's what Final Fantasy is designed around.
Well, what I thought was interesting, this is kind of a tangent, but tangents are fun anyways, and I think the show's designed for tangents today. We don't have a quiz and all that. Ron Gilbert was on Twitter actually kind of complaining about Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring that up when we talked more about the game itself.
And it's weird because, I mean, you know, Ron Gilbert will probably be the first to admit that he's probably an older mindset, but he kind of doesn't like the fact that, you know, things are kind of easier, quests go faster, leveling's, you know, a quicker experience. Like, he doesn't like the fact that, for instance, you can travel so easily. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what I would say to him... A, 12 million people can't be wrong, and B,
well,
you can still subscribe to EverQuest 2.
Well, I mean, he's not like... he's still pretty positive about it, but...
No, I understand.
I think it's interesting that there are still some people who miss that kind of game.
Well, it's the same people who... What, you get a mount at level 20 now? What the hell? I had to get to level 60 gold.
Yeah, for me, exactly, I don't understand why that would be a bad thing.
But some people are mad about it because to them, well, what the hell? I had to work for this. They're giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Oh, well. So we are in agreement. Final Fantasy 14. Oh, no. Next. Given all of the announcements and trailers and all that stuff, you are going to watch the VGAs this year.
Well, I'm not going to watch the VGAs because A, I'm working, and B, I don't have cable. I might try to watch it online later.
Would you have, then, I guess?
Probably. Only for that stuff. I could give two shits about the award show. I mean, Neil Patrick Harris is hosting. I like him. He might be funny. But, you know, I the show is such a joke. It's such a joke. And the person I feel the worst for in this is Jeff Keighley. Because just when I've seen him outside of his Spike TV shenanigans, he seems like a really passionate guy who really cares about gaming journalism and really wants to help get gaming in the mainstream, but unfortunately he's stuck with Spike TV. And, you know, he's got to work with what he has, and it's just, it's not very good.
I mean, I don't think I've ever actually watched a VGA, so I can't really judge it for what it's been or anything like that.
But even, like the one year, like Samuel L. Jackson,
I know.
He doesn't even play video games. Like, he had no idea what he was doing.
Wasn't it, it was agreed that it was better last year, though, right?
Maybe.
That was the consensus, it was better?
It was better in the sense that, like, I get, like, developers actually got to accept their awards.
That's
like,
nice.
As I recall, I might be making this up, but as I recall, like, in years past, like, let me think of an example. I don't know, like, if a game won the award, like, the lead voice actor from the game accepted the award.
Oh, that makes sense.
And, like, it was always, like, a celebrity.
Right.
You know, shit like that.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, I understand it may not be as marketable, but it'd be so nice if gaming could have its Oscars, where it was a formal event, everyone was in, you know, tuxes and dresses, and,
well,
you know, it treated itself at least somewhat seriously.
I think it's important to be nice to the VGAs, because maybe it can be that eventually.
Not on Spike TV.
Well, you know Spike TV. You know, plus there's also the issue, as far as watching it, all these trailers are going to be available on GameTrailers.com probably, like, as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
Like, at least, like, I'm working that night, too. I could probably just come home and find all the trailers somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I liked was, it was a few years ago, but OXM, the official Xbox magazine, for their end-of-the-year podcast, they had, like, their Game of the Year awards, the OXMmies. And it was really cool what they did for that episode was they made it sound like it was the audio from this, like, hypothetical classy award show that I want, where they even had, like, the narrator voice guy announcing the names of all the nominees in each category with, like, the orchestral music and everything. And then they got, like, all the developers who won awards to record, like, an acceptance speech and send them in. They cut it together, so it sounded like this show. It was really cool. So, like, it makes me think that something like this could be really great.
Smoke and mirrors here.
Yeah.
All right, next. Multiplayer will help make Mass Effect 3 better than Mass Effect 2. All right. The multiplayer is still pretty much rumored for Mass Effect 3. Can we agree that it's going to be in there, though?
Probably. It's going to be, like, a mode in Mass Effect 3. It's not going to be its own game or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. But, like, you know, well, it'll make Mass Effect 3 better than Mass Effect 2.
That's not going to make it better. Though I see multiplayer Mass Effect 3 as multiplayer in Uncharted 2. That's kind of the parallel I'm drawing. You're signing up for the single player. Oh, multiplayer's there, it's nice, I'll play it a few times. Some people will play it a lot, just like a lot of people do play Uncharted 2 multiplayer a lot. It'll be supported, but for me, that is nowhere near the draw.
I think Bioshock 2 is really the better kind of comparison, where there's going to be the thing that was annoying about Bioshock 2 was that the multiplayer became so much of the focus of, like, the editorial coverage of the game. Because it was the thing that the last one didn't have.
Yeah.
And it went on and on and on, and then the game came out, and we played the multiplayer, like, yeah, I guess it's good, okay, and no one played it again.
Right.
I'm worried is going to happen.
It's going to go one of those two ways. Time will tell, I guess.
But it's slightly annoying because, you know, the way they hope it's going to go is, oh, next Call
of
Duty.
Call of Duty, yeah.
When it's not. And there's still kind of that thing, like, with Bioshock 2 and with Metroid Prime 2, and it just seems unnecessary, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, EA made this announcement where they think strictly single-player experiences are done.
Yeah.
Like, everything's going to have some kind of multiplayer, whether it be, like, some kind of social integration, like Need for Speed or something. It's like, no, it's not.
Look, but that's my point. Mass Effect does not need a multiplayer mode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will counter and say, like, oh, well, Uncharted didn't need one, too, and stuff like that. Well, at least Uncharted was a shooting game. And I know, you know, Mass Effect's pretty much a shooting game. Everything that's interesting about Mass Effect is the RPG elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't love Mass Effect 2 because it's such a good shooter. And it is a good shooter. And that's fine. But, like, how is Mass Effect as a multiplayer game going to be any different than, like, Gears of War as a multiplayer game?
Not very.
Right. And that's, like, I don't want that. Maybe I'm being a little too idealistic, but that kind of, it just cheapens it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Like I said, you never know. Maybe like it isn't going to be a straight up shooting. Maybe they have some new mechanic to introduce. Like we don't know yet. And a lot of it's going to depend on how this goes down. We might find out tomorrow.
But like, do you really want like four Commander Shepherds fighting off against?
No, see, and that was the thing that even upset me with Uncharted's multiplayer. I hated that there were like four Nathan Drakes running around. Hated that. Like, I don't understand why it couldn't just be, here's a team where it's Nate, Sully, and, you know, whoever else, and then here's a team where it's, like, the four bad guys, and that's what it is. Like, I hated that you could pick your character model and there'd be two Sullivans running around. Well, like, it just ruined it.
The better executed aspect of the Uncharted 2 multiplayer was, like, those three-player co-op missions.
Co-op missions, right.
Those were really cool. And if you could do something like that, like, they never said competitive multiplayer. That's what we're assuming, because we know EA has this giant chubby about trying to take down Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, for whatever reason. I don't know why I can't get over it. I mean, they even freaking, you know, we know that Respawn is basically going to try to make a Call of Duty killer. It's just, I'm just getting very sick of the endless march now to dethrone Call of Duty. Okay, next. The Tomb Raider reboot will be successful. We kind of talked about this, but we didn't actually say if it will work.
Again, we don't know much, but I'm not holding my breath.
I just don't feel like people give a shit anymore, right?
I mean, even like the Tomb Raider Guardian of Light, the downloadable game, it had a lot of hype. People liked it, but it didn't, like, you know,
I didn't
set
like
the
it.
World on fire.
Well, I think people have always overestimated the kind of importance of this character. People always be like, Laura Croft's one of the biggest video game characters of all time. No, she's not.
Dirty little secret. Go back and play Tomb Raider 1 or 2. Well, I bet you don't like it.
It's not even that. It's just the series was basically a flash pan. A flash in the pan, I mean. And
yeah.
A flash pan. But a flash.
I know what you meant.
But it just kind of stuck around anyways. Almost kind of awkwardly. And this just seems to be, like, I know they're saying reboot. Sounds like more of the same to me. Like, oh, here's another Lara Croft game that no one asked for. Doesn't seem, there's nothing new or refreshing about that. I don't care how much you decrease her chest size. Or try to, like, muddy up her face. Like, oh, look. Didn't they, like, I thought that, like, didn't they make a Tomb Raider game where they were like, oh, look, her face is dirty. Like, that was, like, a thing. like I said, I don't know. Don't get it. Anything else to say about it?
No.
Last one. Having Mass Effect 3's announcement leaked is embarrassing for EA.
I don't know if I'm, like, embarrassed, but it's probably, like, someone got fired.
That's not embarrassing. Like, you can't... Your big game that was going to be announced tomorrow got leaked basically by you.
Yeah.
By your own online store. Doesn't it kind of indicate some sort of lack of communication?
Well, they probably gave Sony a call and asked them what they do in these situations.
Yeah. But what do you mean?
Sony, like, everything leaks from them
right,
before
sure.
it gets announced at a trade show.
Okay. Sony something that I feel like that might be intentional, at least. At least I hope so, but I don't know.
Maybe, who knows, maybe this was.
Maybe.
I have one more Let's Go Topical to make up for you.
All right, then.
All right. So Warren Spector has been out and about with a couple things he's been saying.
That's
first,
right.
He's saying, like, his response to all the complaints of the camera in Epic Mickey has basically boiled down to you're playing it wrong.
Wait, but then he kind of says that.
Yeah, that's what I'm, like I said, basically boils down. Like,
paraphrasing there a little
bit. But then the other thing, too, is, like, he's thrilled by the polarizing reviews of the game.
Well, sure. You know, it's weird because, like, I got to talk to him a little bit. And it really wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't give two shits about what reviews say. One thing that he said, and he said it before, and he repeated again, that I always take exception to is, oh, well, we didn't try to make, we're not trying to compete with Mario.
Yeah, you know, I hear him say that, but I'm sorry, man. You've got a third-person platformer. I don't care if you say it's also an adventure game or an RPG. You've got a platformer where I point a cursor at the screen as I'm playing, and when I shake the Wii remote, my main character does a spin attack.
Right.
It's Mario. But I'm sorry.
I get kind of annoyed anytime he tries to say that the game's not a platformer. It's a platformer. Yeah. Like, okay, it has
like hub worlds.
It has like hub worlds. It has some RPG element. It's a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, people get upset. Like, oh wow, he's not owning up to criticism. Of course he's not. Like, you know, again, my nemesis Jim Sterling. He's been on a kind of a crusade. And sure, people sound dumb and like, oh, you're playing it wrong. Blah blah blah. If all these game creators were completely honest about their games, what would we even need game journalists for?
Yeah.
So it's not like worth getting upset about. Like, oh, they're not admitting that their shitty game is shitty. Well, yeah, they're not. Big surprise. I don't know. But I think we're done then. Yeah. Are we in gaming?
Mm-hmm. Cataclysm.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because, like, before we just talked about the patch, I guess Cataclysm proper came out, huh?
Right, right.
We had a fun night when it came out.
We did, because, well, here's what happened was we went to the midnight launch. We each got our copies of the Collector's Edition. But the servers don't go live till midnight Pacific time, which is 3 a.m.
We didn't realize that at first.
Yeah, we didn't calculate that till our cousin pointed it out to us in line.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, well, shit. So we did what any good nerd would do. We nerded out. We got home. Threw in the soundtrack CD to my laptop, got out the two decks of the collectible card game that come with the Collector's Edition, started playing Warcraft cards. We then went downstairs, threw in the Collector's Edition DVD, and watched all the makings of. And then that actually ended, like, right at 3 a.m., and we started playing.
Of course. First off, because you were on a high population server, which you made me play on. And second off, because the game just went live, there were about a zillion Worgen in the Worgen starting zone.
Yeah,
like literally,
it's since thinned out. I checked.
I was kind of surprised, like the game was running as well as it was during all that.
Right, it was a very smooth launch, all things considered. Yeah. I think there was a problem where for the first half hour, level 80s weren't getting XP, but like I said, they fixed that in half an hour.
Okay, right. I mean, you're always gonna have something, but
right.
I mean, if there's, I don't know, there's not much for me to say because all the new content I'm playing through, I talked about before.
Mm-hmm. It's all new to me.
Right. Well, what did you do so far? You played
well,
the Goblin.
I haven't finished the Worgen area yet. I left off where you and I left off as we played through it. But so far, I really liked it. I like that it's nice because, I mean, you even play part of that area as a human until you get turned into a Worgen. But like you said, they have kind of like a Dickens bent to them, so it manages to feel different enough. So mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. So I really enjoyed that. The Goblin starting area is one of the best RPG experiences I've ever had.
Right, that's what I said when I played it during the beta. How that mm-hmm. that is the best kind of MMO. It's hard to what do you call it? Like story, like quest lines is kind of a term, but there's a lot of quest lines. But you know what I mean. Let's call it a giant quest line. One of the mm-hmm. best quest lines I've played, probably the best.
I mean, it takes you from level 1 to 12,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it's super well done. I mean, you might criticize it as saying it's not really an MMO. Like, it's designed where it basically makes you the lead character of this story, where your character is, like, a legitimately important goblin figure, like, with specifically all this stuff that's happening to you in the world.
See, for me...
But it's so good.
See, for me, and I'm kind of glad Blizzard has embraced this a little bit, the game, until you get to the end of game, like, raiding and stuff, unless you go off to do a battleground here or one of the dungeons, which, you know, that or whatever, it is kind of a single-player game.
Yeah, you really don't need the group unless you're just playing with some friends.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, it totally, you know, like, can be multiplayer, but leveling is pretty much a soloing kind of experience.
Right.
And, like, you know, not, you know, it's not like an isolated, like, oh, it's a single-player game all of a sudden. Like, the dungeons are there. You can actually use them ever since they had the dungeon finder put in, which mm-hmm. was nice.
And then, you know, you go to the towns and
right.
do the auction.
But I'm glad, like,
there's interaction.
The thing before was that was always the case. And, but, like, the game didn't really reflect that. Like, the game would throw these random quests at you, like, oh, now you need 3 people to do this quest. Like, yeah, well, there's no one else here. I'm not going to find 2 random people to do this random-ass quest with me. You know, stuff like that. But continue.
But yeah, so I did finish the Goblin starting area, which took a surprisingly long time.
It's long.
Yeah.
It's very long.
I did a Goblin Warlock named Gaswick. I was pretty proud of that name.
One since that kind of says you're getting away from the goblin starting area, one not really a complaint, but that some people have, I guess it's a complaint for some of them, but, like, it makes your character very important in the story.
Yeah, like, you almost became the leader of all the goblins at the end.
Right, or at least of your trade cartel, but that sounds nerdy. But, you know, like, you meet up with certain important characters in the lore.
Which was awesome. That was a great reveal.
But, I mean, like, your character is very important in this. Mm-hmm. For role players, that must be kind of a mess.
Yeah, because the problem is now you're out in the world and everybody has the same backstory.
Right. Basically,
the thing, like, I mean, pretty much all the other characters before started off generically enough that you could fill in your own backstory. But you've got a pretty well-defined backstory with any goblin you make.
See, again, that's like the game they thought Warcraft was going to be. We're like, okay, we're going to make sure that these characters are... Where they almost designed the quest to have as little kind of personal interaction as possible because they wanted you to, like, fill in the blanks yourself.
Yeah, you were a blank slate.
Right. And, like, something that I love when I'm doing quests, like, I'm doing level 80-plus quests. So my character has been around. He's been doing things. He's been raiding. He's taken out, you know, demigods and all that stuff. When I run into important people, like, I ran into Thrall once for something. And, like, the dialogue thing said, like, Thrall, like, nods at your presence and says, Tokoto, it is good to see you.
Yeah. Or, like, shit like that is awesome.
And, like, other people be like, Tokoto, thank God you're here. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I am actually a part of this story now. Yeah, like, my character has been around.
You're a big deal hero.
Right. Exactly. To them, like, I've done shit. Which is, like, right. It's really so cool.
Well, and that's what you get now for having this game be 6 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. You can have that history.
You
not
have
just,
that history.
Not just with the game, world. But with your character. Mm-hmm. But that's...
I mean, that... Yeah. That's why the changes that have happened to this game world are so effective. These are places that you've spent 6 years in and have changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, not to get too serious about it, but, like, you know, it's like if your hometown had just one day just gotten, you know, changed in some way, like even little.
If your hometown got New Orleans too soon?
Something like, well, I wasn't going to go that serious. I was like, jeez.
If your new town got New Orleans. Funny side story.
Never say that again.
Wait,
actually,
can we tell the story about how I didn't know about Hurricane Katrina for like a week?
You didn't?
Remember, I was in Toledo.
Oh, that's right.
I was going to school when I was in college. My first semester, I was basically a shut-in. And you guys came to take me home one time when like the news was on. And there was like the water, and like they're showing like the flood, everything, and it said New Orleans. I was like, what happened to New Orleans? Because it was just water.
Michael.
Anywho, continue.
But
your serious story.
I've screwed up my metaphor here.
I screwed up your metaphor.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I don't know.
I get what you mean. You have some attachments.
I remember what I was going to say. I mean, imagine if, you know, you went to high school somewhere for 4 years, and then you, like, went to college for a year, and then that year you're gone, your high school burnt down, and then you go home, and that place is gone. Like, you feel that sense of loss because you had a sense of connection with that place.
See, it's kind of weird, though, because I don't get so much of a sense of loss as this. Like, I know it's the cataclysm and, like, oh, things got destroyed, but it feels like, all in all, like, everything is, there's more.
Well, there is, because you haven't done as much of the mid-level stuff, I guess. Like I said, going to Thousand Needles... A zone that I really liked before was really weird, just because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different in the sense that it is destroyed. Like, that was really cool. And I don't know of any other game that's given me that that emotion.
Well, no other game that really had the opportunity to before.
Right.
I mean, maybe EverQuest 1, but I don't think they ever would have done anything like that, or whatever. Anything else you want to really say about the WoWs?
I did want to talk, I found... In the Badlands with my level 48 rogue, possibly the best quest ever.
Oh?
I don't want to tell the whole thing, but let me tell you how this quest starts. There is a dwarf, a gnome, and an orc huddled around a campfire in this scar that's been ripped through the Badlands by Deathwing. And you go to talk to them to see, like, what the hell are you guys doing out here? And they're like, oh, we're just hanging out telling stories.
I kind of heard about this.
And the other guy's like, yeah, you know... Deathwing came through here, but he won't be coming back anytime soon. This dwarf's talking to you, and you're like, well, why? He's like, because I punched him in the face. Let me tell you the story. The game then shifts to where you're now playing as this dwarf in a flashback, and you play out the story as he's telling it about how he punched Deathwing in the face.
That is pretty good, actually.
Then when you finish it, the gnome's like, nah, that's not what happened. Let me tell you the real story. And they each tell their story. I won't say any more because you should just find... Like, even if you're level 80, just go back and do this quest because it's awesome.
That is pretty spectacular, actually.
It was... The end of it was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen. And like I said, here's what's so cool about all this. It all uses the established gameplay mechanics and convention that have been in World of Warcraft almost since its inception. But they just put such a good twist on everything and just do something so unexpected. It's amazing. It's just so good.
The thing that impresses me is that's like a level 45 quest.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like I said, I was level 48 when I did it. But I think, yeah, like the zone's really meant for more low to mid-level 40s. It's just so cool. It's so good. And here's the other thing. I guess I didn't really talk about this yet. You know what's my single most favorite improvement to the game, I think?
What's that?
There are so many more flight points.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
nice. I can actually fly anywhere I want to.
I know. You're lucky. But just like, I mean, even I was flying through, what's it called? The Duskwood? Yeah. I don't know if you remember that zone. It's like the kind of place where like all the undead are rising, and there's like the one town, Darkshire. Yeah, that's the one. It's like up in the very northeast corner of the zone, and it's kind of the only alliance town in the zone. There's your flight master there, you're in, but it's in the very northeast corner of this zone, and everything else you do is like in the western end of the zone. So it's like you go to the town, you get 3 quests, run to the other side of the zone, do the quests, run back, turn them in, get 3 more, repeat the process like 4 times. So now they put a flight point on that western end, so the two are now connected. It's like, oh, that's just so good. It just saves you unnecessary downtime. Yeah, the game's freaking awesome. Oh, and so this is something I wanted to address, actually. We got a tweet last week from Captain Carnage, a.k.a. Jeff Mossop, one of the Squadron of Shame guys who listen to the show. And he asked us, he's never played WoW before. Is this like a good time to start playing it? I would say this is probably the best time for like a new player to start playing WoW.
Yeah, it really is. I would just say don't roll a Draenei or a Blood Elf and it'll be the best time.
Yeah, because, right. I mean, their starting areas are good, but probably not to the level of everything else anymore.
They're now the oldest starting areas.
Yeah, because everything else has been redone.
Right, and their starting areas tied directly into the storyline for the first expansion. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's like I said, it's fine, but you really want the Cataclysm experience at this point. So don't, you know, I wouldn't roll them.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. You don't even need to get any expansions. Unless you really want to do a Worgen or Goblin, just get Vanilla WoW to start, see how you're liking it, then if you hit level 60, start buying the expansions.
Right, yeah, exactly. But,
yeah, and just because, I mean, not only do we have all this new, like I said, the new content in the world and everything, but just everything they've done to help streamline the game, to make it easier to understand, it's just so much more noob-friendly than even this game was in 2004, and it was already pretty friendly to new players of the genre in general. And there's so many people, I could guarantee you've got a friend playing it who can help you out. And here's the thing, too, if you are going to start playing it, don't just go out and get a copy. Find a friend who plays it, have them do the recruit-a-friend thing with you, because then if let's say your friend starts a new character with you, you get a 300% experience boost for your first 60 levels. And then if you start playing the game and you pay for 2 months, they get like a free rocket mount and all this stuff. So definitely start up with a friend who's playing it already if you can. So yeah, it really is a good time to start. You won't be like, people will be like, oh, the barons are torn in half, this is crazy. You'll be like, oh, okay.
You may not get some of the significance of the changes, but
yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to write an article soon, kind of from the perspective of people who maybe tried WoW back when it came out and haven't picked it up again, how they need to play it. But we should probably stop talking about WoW. I feel like people are going to think we're like taking Blizzard's money or something.
I wish.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because there'd be a lot of it.
Yeah.
They're taking my money.
I mean, Jesus, that was kind of all I played this week. I have so many new games, that was it. I don't think I touched Epic Mickey this week. I didn't touch Assassin's Creed this week. I just played WoW.
I have two other things I played that are probably worth talking about.
Sad. What?
Real quick, Puzzle Quest 2. I got it. I played it.
It's
Puzzle Quest.
It's Puzzle Quest, except like with isometric stuff in between. Yeah.
Right, instead of the world map. But, you know, it's pretty sweet. The bigger thing that's worth talking about is Infinity Blade.
Okay, I'm about to ask you what Infinity Blade is. Mm-hmm. Please understand I want you to do it briefly.
Punch Out.
Oh, okay. It's Punch Out?
To boil it down to its most basic.
Okay, so it's Punch.
Here's what the game is. Like, when you're in these sword
fights...
No,
I liked your one-word answer.
Yeah, well, let me elaborate a little
bit. Okay, fine.
Like, you know, you have three basic moves. Either block with the shield, but the shield can only take so many hits. Dodge or parry. And then some, like, parries are harder to pull off, but some attacks have to be parried. They can't be dodged. You make enough dodges or parries, they, you know, you do, like, a break. Then you get to do a combo. And you just swipe the screen to pick which direction you swing your sword. If you do a, like left, right, left, or up, down, up, like the 1, 2, 3 in those opposite directions, you'll do a super hit. And you just whittle down guys' health. And, like, the kind of conceit of the game is the end boss is, like, this level 50 super evil mega lord guy. Like, you will get to him, you will die. Mm-hmm. Then the game flashes to 20 years later with your son saying, "Father, I will avenge you." With all of your previous gear and stats, you get to the end guy again, he'll kill you again. It'll probably take you about 6 generations before you're able to take him out.
Jeez. It's good people keep procreating before they leave to go get killed.
Yeah, it's really nice of that guy to let your children come back and get all your equipment.
Yeah.
Then, like, what's great is, like, you know, there's a what's the big draw for the game is there's a ton of loot and items you can get, and you level up each item until you max it out, then that's kind of your motivation to get something else.
Right.
So, like, that's the real addiction. The multiplayer is not in it yet, but it's coming, I guess. But I mean, like I say, it sounds really simple when I say it like that, but it's just, there's something very visceral about it that's just really satisfying to play. And my God, is it pretty. I mean, we're talking current gen system good looking, but on an iPad, or, I mean, I couldn't imagine this thing on an iPhone. It just would look amazing. I mean, it's $6, and it's a universal app, so if you have an iPad and iPod Touch, you'll work on both. It's great.
Alrighty then. Well, I guess we should do the releases then.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
Alright, World of Warcraft Cataclysm for PC and Mac. We might have talked about that a little bit on the show. Tron Evolution for 360, PS3, PSP, DS.
Games I briefly for played it at Best Buy. I kind of liked it.
It's basically Prince of Persia. I'm sure it's short. You know, all the typical video game movie things. Jewel 3 came out. God, I don't understand why there was, like, an announcement and, like, I don't understand how there was any, like, sort of media, not media, but there was hype for Bejeweled 3.
Hey, Bejeweled's a big
deal,
man.
But it's Bejeweled. Like, I'm sure that you match jewels.
Well, you know how they had, like, Bejeweled Blitz that was, like, a really big deal on Facebook and everything, and people were, like,
yeah, sure, I know.
That's the thing with this game. There's, like, 6 new modes like that in this, in addition to, like,
it's still
basic
just Bejeweled.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, I had a game on my calculator called Phoenix 2, and I thought it was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have needed to read coverage about a sequel for Phoenix 2. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Alright, Infinity Blade, Kung Fu Live, I don't know what that is, and other things I don't know if they are... Bomberman Live Battle Fest. How many Bomberman games are we going to make a deal for, downloadable?
I don't know.
Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. Dual Transfer for the Wii. I like the name. 5Ds. Other crap. The end. Alright, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also see us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. Anything you want to say, Edge Guy, before we leave?
I'm going to play World of Warcraft after this. After I edit it.
I am probably going to go to bed. All right, thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Adieu.